Ready to talk retirement? You're in the right place. Join Veronica Redfield for the Retirement Roundtable, your go-to source for navigating the ups and downs of retirement planning. We'll break down those tricky financial topics, share actionable tips, and explore ways to make your retirement dreams a reality. So grab a seat. It's time for the Retirement Roundtable.
Welcome to the Retirement Roundtable. I'm Veronica Redfield with Retirement Resource, and with me is my co-host, Jacqueline. How are you doing today, Jacqueline?
I am doing fantastic. I'm in Minnesota and the weather is finally amazing. A little bit hot, but I am enjoying it. And the sun is, you know, treating me well right now. So no burn yet. But we can start off with the summer with some sort of color would be great.
Did you guys get any of the tornado weather up there?
No, but I was going to ask you about that. I heard about it this weekend. I mean, that was wow.
Yeah. My family and I were gone last week, but we were trying to come home during it. And there was an F5, E5, whatever in Jamestown, North Dakota. And then south in Enderlin, there's a lot. And then Grant here, everybody, Grant's on the podcast.
Yep. I'm here. Hello.
He set up in Bemidji. He was just showing me it was straight line winds up there, but oh my gosh, and I guess someone said, what is it? 50 years ago, we had tornadoes come through this area at the same time.
Yeah. I believe it was 1956.
Yeah.
So that was the last big storm that came through Fargo, Moorhead area. And this one last Friday night, Saturday morning was, I guess, the biggest one.
Than
Northern Minnesota has seen.
Oh.
My parents' lake cabin, their boat and lift was flipped over.
That's so crazy.
Completely totaled. My fiance's lake cabin, they had a pontoon totally flipped over. And then Veronica said, Bemidji was just leveled. I mean, trees everywhere. I saw a video yesterday morning. There was about 100 to 150 trucks lined up with all the tree and debris going out to the landfill. So,
wow.
It was pretty crazy.
How about driving? I mean, are the roads starting to clear up and how is it getting places?
In Bemidji, it's still tough. So I guess they're a state of national emergency. So they have a GoFundMe right now, you know, helping out. There's no power. So, you know, people are expecting a week without power up there right now. But they're finally cleaning up the roads. Where Aubrey's cabin is, you know, it's pretty clear there. We had a lot of good help cleaning up the trees around there. So.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, what else is new? I mean, Veronica, Grant, how are you guys?
Well, I actually just got back from Quebec last week. It was kind of like a work/leisure trip and I had never been there before. And it was such a cute little city. And I'm very grateful. My son, you know, he's 7. Obviously he enjoyed it. I think he was tired of French fries though, because poutine is one of the most common things you see everywhere. But he didn't want another French fry, which is not normal for a 7-year-old, especially mine, to say that he doesn't want it. But I would say Quebec was a cute city to visit, and it's easy to go down the hill, but when you got to go back up the hill in the little city to get back to where you're going, that's a workout. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Yeah. So just for our listeners, I mean, what is poutine, right? Do you want to explain what it is?
Yep. It's French fries with gravy and cheese curds. And everywhere you went, it was always on the menu and you could load it up with different types of meat. I think sometimes they just call it meat. You don't really know what you're going to get. Bacon, all these other things. But a colleague of mine also said that he got a dessert poutine, which was fennel cake with Skittles and M&Ms, all the candy on it. So guess they any way you can think of it, I think is what they do there, because it's on every menu, I swear.
So it's heart attack on a plate.
Well, pretty sure. Very heavy, very heavy. But when on vacation, you indulge, right?
Yes.
So absolutely. Now I'm working that off for this whole next week here.
Yeah. I always say vacation calories don't count.
Yep. So until we get back, and then we're like, why did I do that? Why did I give in and just do it? Now I'm starting all over again.
Yes. Grant, how about you?
I was actually in the cities this weekend. So I went to go visit some friends. They're going to get married here in September, and I am grateful to be his best man. So we're just visiting them. They're just right outside of Stillwater. So had a few beers and just caught up, sat around the pool, and it was a good weekend overall.
Well, and you visited a client on the way home too. You got to see your house.
Oh,
you've never been over there.
Yep. Yep. We have a client located in Forest Lake. So I went and stopped and met her in person, because typically we do Zooms. So it was nice to meet her in person. And then came back up here.
Wow, that's an exciting weekend too. And you got to enjoy the 100 degree weather as well.
Yeah, not a fan. Especially when you have red hair and fair skin, you get burnt really quick.
I hear you. I'm a blondie with blue eyes, and yep, it's why I said you just got to start off with a burn, and then the rest of the summer will, you know, ease your way into that tan.
Yep.
All right. Well, what is the topic we're talking about today?
Well, one thing that we thought about was mental wealth. I think a lot of people think financial wealth in retirement, but we here like to talk a little bit more than just that. So today will be the first of a three-part series. So we have mental wealth, we have physical wealth, and we have financial wealth. So just to kind of have a different spin on it, we wanted to kind of talk a little bit more because people are always thinking about the money. They don't think about everything else that goes into planning pre-retirement, in retirement. And so we figured we would have a little discussion on that. And I'll just start it off here because to me, mental wealth, you need to have clarity, you need to have understanding, you need to be happy. You know, I was just explaining to Grant here because I guess he hasn't seen it yet. But we have had clients that have been so stressful, you know, coming into work, like that they just can't do it anymore. And so they're trying to retire and they look like a different person in retirement because they are so stressed pre-retirement. Like I had a client come in and just, you could just see it on her. She's weighted down. She's like about foot shorter because like all of the weight, and she just is struggling. And we're going through the retirement planning procedures, you know, starting to check the boxes and get things prepared. The appointment after retirement is such a game changer for some of these people. They look like a brand new person. Like you can see that weight relieved from that. And that's where I kind of say your mental health matters because, you know, sometimes people put themselves in positions where maybe they can't, you know, retire, but, you know, they're in a position that your health is really affected with that mental stress. The other thing that I kind of wanted to talk about too, and we can circle back here, was what are you going to do in retirement? Depression is a real thing. Like people don't think about the fact that, you know, when I'm retired, I got all this free time. They never really think that things could go downhill. You know, what are you going to do to stay social? What are you going to do to stay active? You know, I have had clients hit depression in retirement because they fell out of routine. They didn't have a schedule. They weren't socializing, you know, and there's lots of different things that you can do in retirement to one, you know, keep that mental, you know, cognitive ability. I loved it. I had a gal who she was retiring from the VA and she's like, when I retire, I'm going to fold towels. That's it. I'm not going to talk to people. I'm going to go to the Y and, you know, they have a million towels because it's a gym. And I remember when I was a water aerobics instructor, when I got a tour, they said they spent over $10,000 a month on laundry. I'm sure it's more than that now, but she said when she retires, she's going to go fold towels, you know?
Yeah. And I think like even in retirement too, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people lose their identity, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people lose their purpose. And so I think that is a huge, you know, relationship with, you know, your mental health and why, you know, you're happy and why you're sad and you got to stay busy. And so a lot of people, you know, they say go back to work, right? Some people just get part-time jobs like you're talking about to not lose that.
Yeah. We call it a no-brainer job here. You know, one of the things when we first meet you, when we say you're retiring, like, are you retiring for real? Or are you going to retire and get a no-brainer job? Meaning that there's nothing that stays with you. You know, you go to work, you do your job, you go home, you know, and sometimes people need that to ease from going to a full-time 40 to 60, 80 hours per week to, you know, full retirement. Like some people struggle with that. Don't get me wrong. I have some people who have busier calendars in retirement than they do before, but it's just, you got to think about those things. And a lot of people don't always think about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a huge factor into the pre-retirement as well, because mm-hmm. you need to be thinking about that and you need to be planning for that. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. You know, we had to go off that. Veronica had also a client that said that all she wanted to do was take naps. So in retirement, she fulfilled her 40 hours of openness to naps. So good for her.
Don't we all dream of that? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Naps are good.
Well, And some people, they think, I learned this in this profession and all the different walks of life and the different people, like some people are so busy, like they just don't want to have to be busy and they want to do what they want when they want it. And they don't have to travel the world. Not everybody wants to do that, you know? So yeah, when Gran's saying about naps, it's so true. And she still does it to this day, like 6 years going strong, which is great. Good to hold up your goals, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so with this topic, I mean, what can people do to kind of prepare for this, like mental, you know, and get their resilience going, I guess, for retirement?
Well, I would say staying social is one, and being intentional about it, because, you know, a lot of people, they might get onto the lazy side, and I don't mean lazy disrespectfully, but, you know, have a structure. Like I have a lady, a client who, you know, she didn't want to do a lot. She got the newspaper, so she knew what day of the week it was. And then she would pet cats twice a week. Like she would go, you know, pet them so that when they were fostered, they were used to communication. So like, you know, volunteer some time because helping feels good about yourself. Challenging your mind, because we have so many people come in here. They're like, well, I don't use a computer anymore. So like, I don't feel like they feel like they lost it a little bit, you know, doing something to keep your brain active. You know, you could do puzzles, you know, I mean, to me, I think it's just the social aspect of it is something that's good. Even you don't have to have a gigantic circle, but a small circle is helpful. Mm-hmm. And anything you can do to challenge your brain, you know, read, you know, things like that, so that you're staying with it. Because one of the things that can happen later in life is cognitive impairment. And we're going to talk more about physical health and all that stuff in the next one. But, you know, making sure you're mentally there, anything you can do to challenge yourself to stay together is just great.
Yeah. And just finding a hobby, I think, is the main thing. Like for myself, like I can see myself boarding retirement. I probably won't get off the lake because I'll be fishing too much. But there's so much opportunity now to go play pickleball. You know, mm-hmm. You know, we have all these breweries outside. Now it costs a little money, but it's something that you can get to go do and socialize with friends and family.
Yeah. I think your living places too are fantastic in that, and like the activities that they have every day, and, you know, just always keeping you and having something on your calendar, I think is important as well.
And it doesn't have to be full by any means, but just something that gets you going and you have a routine because you have something to look forward to. The other part about mental wealth that we want to talk about is if you're stressing and worrying about running out of money, for example, or you're stressing and worrying about how you're going to pay your next bill, or, you know, and especially if you've got a good amount saved, having a plan will help relieve that stress. Because, you know, people who don't put a plan together, let's just say, they don't know what it looks like. They don't know what it looks like now pulling so many dollars per month. They don't know like what in 5 years, 10 years, what it's going to look like. So to keep that and preserve that mental wealth, that mental health that you have, having a plan in place gives you that peace of mind and that ease so that you're not stressed. We have physically seen stress affect clients before, because it might be somewhat a little bit self-inflicted in the sense, because it's decisions they made to purchase things that maybe were a little bit much, a little bit, you know, soon than what's normal. But we have physically seen how it affects the cognitive ability of clients because they're so stressed out about something. So whatever you can do to put a plan in place and have everything organized so that, I mean, you're not going to be able to know everything. We have no crystal ball, but you can go through things with a little bit of ease if you have an idea of what to expect, what your goals are, what and how you should do things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, I think a lot of stress comes from expectation versus reality as well. And so, like you said, you know, you really want to have a realistic expectation. And a lot of people in society and socially, it's not that, you know, your expectation is a lot greater and it's going to be so much fun and I'm going to do all this, but it's like, you want to prep for that mentally, right? For sure.
And on a funny side note, you want to, if you have a significant other or spouse, you have to prep for being with them 40 hours more, 24 hours a day, because we have a couple that came in and they wanted to retire. They were so ready to retire. They're so stressed for work. What ended up happening is she ended up having like a hip replacement. He farmed, so he was at home. They couldn't get to work back fast enough because they said, you need to tell people that it's not all what it's cracked up to be. Like, yeah. She was very serious. So preparing for that is also something that you can think about.
Yeah. Well, Grant, as you're now entering a new marriage, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I could. I don't think I could, you know, be with her for 40 hours a week. You know, don't take that the wrong way. But we need separation. She wants to go do her things. I don't like shopping, so she can go do that. And of course, I like to be on the water for fishing. But no, I, you know, even working with a spouse, I don't even know if I could do that because I feel like we butt heads too much. But when I come home at night and we get to spend that 5 hours, it's perfect. That's all I need.
Yeah.
So it's good. But I did want to talk about one thing with stress too. And, you know, stress comes with change. And, you know, getting ready to retire, people are so used to having two paychecks a month. And then once they retire, whether they have a pension or Social Security or taking distributions, you know, it only comes once a month. So people often get a little bit stressed that, you know, that feeling of every 2 weeks is not there anymore. And they're down to 1 month. And they feel as if, you know, they're kind of strapped for cash. It's just a different change that they see in retirement, where you lose out on those two paychecks a week. Now you're just down to one.
Mm-hmm.
A month, excuse me.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, I think you guys talked about it last podcast as well about your written plan that you offer. Mm-hmm. And so can you, you know, talk about that again, because I think written plans, you know, and having that written out is very important for, you know, and you guys are fighting over there again about, you know, who's gonna answer it. But
Grant, I've talked most. It's your turn.
I know. That's
come on.
No, I mean,
it's your turn.
I like written plans, but I don't like written plans.
What?
Yes.
Really?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
So,
okay, there's a reason behind this though.
Yes.
Okay, explain it. I know where you're going.
You kind of cut me off.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know where you're going now. I was going to yell at you first, but now I know where you're going.
Yeah. Here comes the bickering.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. This is the day end of our life.
So,
I mean,
I truthfully believe that everyone needs a written plan of some sort or work with a financial advisor. But the thing I don't like about it is I really don't know who those people are, because I'm handing over this, you know, 20-page plan. And truthfully, you know, I'm supposed to hand it to them and they're supposed to execute it. Are they going to execute it? Are they going to follow the plan exactly how I lay it out? Most likely not. So, you know, yes, they're good to, you know, kind of lay a foundation, but it's typically on the client to execute it. So personally for me, I'm not a big believer in financial plans. I'd rather have them go to a financial advisor and work with someone specifically to make sure those executions happen.
So to explain further what he's saying is, so like in our firm, we can do a financial plan only, or you can come be a client and just part of the package. I do agree with him in the struggle. When someone comes in and says, I don't want you to manage my assets. I don't want anything from you but a plan. I want you to lay out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. It is hard. We struggle. We do that, but it's so hard because you're given a static item that could change the very next day. And so we find that it's very difficult because when people just work with us, we know the plan, we give them the plan, but we feel better because when something happens, they just call us and we pivot with them in the plan. So the benefit of having an actual advisor with you, which Grant is stating there, is far superior than just getting a financial plan. Don't get me wrong, the financial plan has their benefit. It's for the do-it-yourselfers that don't want any help, but they want to make sure they're not missing anything. There is a value. But for us, we can do it, but we really do struggle because, like I said, we could put this plan together, but both of us are like, well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? I mean, we could do what we have now, but we feel like it's almost incomplete because we're handing over, like you said, this gigantic document because we're trying to cover as much as we can in a simple format. But it's not simple. Retirement is not simple. Planning, investments, none of that is really simple. There's so many things between taxes and, I mean, just so many things that we need to consider. So to clarify, you need a written plan. But what Grant is trying to say, it's better to have a plan with an advisor than it is to get a financial plan and then, you know, say, okay, thank you. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many variables that are affecting everyday life. And I think what you're trying to say is that there needs to be constant, you know, revisiting of that mm-hmm. plan and pivoting, like you said, and changing because things change every day, you know? And so staying in connection with that financial advisor and having a good relationship with them is really important to know and keep in mind of all the variables in your life.
Exactly. And I mean, it's repetitive what we do because we joke, but we're serious. The worst people to get advice from are friends, coworkers, and family, because what worked for them doesn't necessarily work for you. And like, I just had it actually happen this morning. You know, I have a client and she said, well, I looked this up and my brother said this, and she was talking about the numbers. I'm like, okay, let's just make sure we're on the same page here so I understand what you're saying. And it turns out, you know, it was just a misunderstanding between everything. You know, she misunderstood how we said it. But when we go through this stuff, we go through so much that, you know, we have to repeat it. And you're not going to get it all in the first sitting. And you just know that you have us here to help you. When you have questions, you ask just like she did. And it's okay that it doesn't stick, because it sometimes takes a long time before you actually finally understand it. But that's why you have someone like Grant and I doing these things for you. You know, you just need that trust and that peace of mind, knowing that if you need something, you're going to call Veronica and Grant and you're going to get your question answered. And no matter what anyone else says, I love the challenge when someone comes and they bring all these different acronyms from different things between Social Security, federal, you know, anything. And I'm trying to piece out what they're actually trying to tell our clients so that I can actually answer it honestly. But the clients just don't understand. So repetitive is also important.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. If mm-hmm. you want to ask 10 times, I'll answer you 10 times.
Yep.
You know, until you finally get it. And that's the nice thing about this office. I mean, we're, you know, they'll come in with their questions, and most often than not, you know, it's repetitive. But you can see the light through the tunnel, because one day they'll say, I finally get it. Mm-hmm. And then you can just move on to the next task. So mm-hmm. financial planning is fun.
We are kind of nerds though. Just saying, we do nerd out with this stuff.
Well, that's always a good thing. But I think to loop it back, you know, with our topic of mental wealth here, you know, I think it loops also back to the expectation versus reality. Mm-hmm. And I think having that written plan, people expect that to follow through, when in reality, it's going to constantly change. And so I understand now what you're saying, Grant, with it's a blessing and a curse all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And we tell clients all the time, you know, this is your plan. I said, it's easier to have everything put together and in one place. So when life happens, you can call us. We know who you are. You're not an account number. You're not just some name. We know who you are to help you pivot to the next thing. You know, we'll either say you're fine, this is it, or get your butt in here, or we already know we plan to talk to you on the next time, you know, all those kind of things. But that can provide mental health for our clients, because then they know they've got in comfort, someone is here taking care of them. And then kind of even a bigger one, let's not forget about people get more mental wealth with us, knowing that if something happens, they have us here to help their beneficiaries. You know, a lot of clients, whether they think about it or not, and sometimes they don't think about it till later in life, some people earlier on, or they might be associated with someone with illness. They might think of it more that way. But knowing that we're here when something happens, so their beneficiaries, whoever they are, don't have to do it alone, is huge, because it's hard enough to lose someone, much less try to figure out what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, Grant, what's a piece of advice for people that are approaching retirement on their mental health? You know, what kind of advice would you give them?
What kind of advice would I give them? For one, I would go seek a financial advisor, get an opinion, even get two opinions, because every financial advisor is going to be different. You know, you're going to get different opinions. Secondly, I'd want to make sure that you go to a fiduciary, you know, because you want, you know, in retirement, you want is in what the best interest for the clients. So that's what a fiduciary does. And then just make sure you have all your ducks in a row, because kind of going back off to that, like, financial plan, it's better to work with a financial advisor, because it's like you're going to go build a house, you order all the materials, but you actually never build the house. And that's what a financial plan is, you know, because you got to implement it. So I would just seek to go find a financial advisor and try to get everything ducks in a line and make sure that, you know, the forecast for retirement looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. Veronica, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that was a great analogy with building the house. That's perfect. No, and I think one is just, you know, with us, we like to say we're in it for the long haul. So when you're searching for that financial advisor, not everybody's going to be a good fit. So making sure you trust the person sitting across the table, you feel comfortable with the person across the table, because a lot of people, when they first start talking about money, they're very tight. They're just hard to talk about, especially if they think they didn't do a good job saving. So just making sure that you feel you could say anything and everything to your person is huge, because if you can't feel comfortable and trust them, you're probably not with the right fit. The other thing too, I would say, is pay attention to the type of person you're going with. Are they just a money manager alone? Meaning your conversations are going to all be around your investments, the returns, you know, the market, you know, that kind of thing. Or are they a full financial plan associated with that? Meaning, you know, we've ran into people which when you're in the saving, the accumulation phase, a money manager alone isn't the worst thing in the world, because they maybe will make you good money. That could happen. But when it comes to retirement planning, it's a whole different field. There's a lot more things things that you're responsible for. Like Grant said, if you have all the materials, how are you going to build this house that you've never built before? I mean, have you retired before? Have you known where to take your money from? How much? You know, what's the tax complication going to be with that? You know, what's the best strategy? What is even out there? What is the government doing? How are they changing things? So knowing the type of person is, if they're a money manager only or a full financial planner, and knowing that it's okay to switch. You know, sometimes people have a money manager for 30 years because it's been their entire working career. And if that's all they do, you have to do these things for you, not the person. Yes, there is guilt sometimes from making a change, but you want to make the right choice, and you want to make the choice that's going to be best for you and your family. So if you feel that person does not have what it takes to help strategize, there could be a lot of things you'll miss out on.
Yeah. I think today's topic was great with mental health, and just that's a huge topic right now and so important, especially in retirement. So just setting yourself up for success is huge. Mm-hmm. So, well, that does it for today's episode. Thank you, Grant, for joining. And that is the Retirement Roundtable with Veronica Redfield.
Thanks for tuning in to the Retirement Roundtable. A well-planned retirement goes beyond savings. It's about having a strategy for both income and taxes. To learn more, reach out to Veronica Redfield at the Retirement Resource by calling 701-639-7899 or visiting retirementresourcend.com. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of the Retirement Roundtable.
Advisory services are offered by VC Insurance Sales, Inc., doing business as the Retirement Resource and Investment Advisor in the states of North Dakota and Minnesota. Insurance products and services are offered through Fed Resource ND, an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.